Welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about the hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade their license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the general class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and at 7 p.m., again, 2300 Zulu, each Sunday evening, letting it drop. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or just like to listen, please connect to the SCARS server at either EchoLink node number 96140 or IRLP node 9614, or a third option, All-Star node AST27404. To those who are interested, please contact Mike, that's KD0CDQ via mail, at VOIP at SCARS VOIP, that's SCARSVOIP.com, to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be conducted in the course. Letting it drop again. This material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at SCARSVOIP at SCARSVOIP.com. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at VOIP at scarsvoip.com. The session this evening will be conducted and posted on our website, and the website is www.scarsvoip.com. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we stay on the same page during the classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in the class should be the one posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our sessions. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? At this point, let us begin. Our instructors this evening are KY6 Victor Gordon and K6SUN Kathy. We will start this evening's questions with Gordon, KY6 Victor, and it'll be starting, I believe, with, Golf 1 Alpha, G1A, I believe is the first question. Gordon, take it away.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As Mike said, my name is Gordon. Call is KY6V. I'm down here in South Florida, and I'll be one of your instructors here this evening. The general course for 2019, sponsored by SCARS, will start this evening, the 4th, and run until Tuesday, August the 27th. Each class will be run about an hour. We'll start at 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time and run only on Sundays and Tuesdays of each week. So that's 8 total classes, 2 per week, and lasting for a 4-week period. There is no cost involved in joining these classes, so support material and course-specific information may be found on our website. Let me recharge everybody's timer here. Two steps before we start this evening. First, please note that each question on your question pool gives you added information. the question number, and then followed by an alpha designator, which tells you the correct answer for the question. In many cases, and where appropriate, the FCC Part 97 rule number will be referenced. Secondly, we strongly suggest that you do not memorize any of the alpha designators used for each possible answer. These letters will be changed around on your final exam, so heads up, don't memorize it by the alpha designator. Let me recharge one more time on the timers, and we will get started. Okay, we're covering the 2019-2023 general class question pool. That's FCC Element 3, and it became effective on July the 1st. The Group 1 area that we'll be covering in, along with others this evening, will be the Commission's rules, and on the Commission rules there are five questions and five groups. So the first group is G1A. And it covers general class control operator frequency privileges, primary and secondary allocations. So we're going to start with question G1A01. G1A01. Let me pause. And that question reads, on which HF or MF bands in a general class license holder granted all amateur radio frequencies? On which HF-AMF bands is a general class license holder granted all frequency privileges? Now, there's a lot of hoops to law, and there's five answers down here, four answers, I should say. The correct answer is C, as in Charlie, which reads 160 meters, 60 meters, 30 meters, 17 meters, 12 meters, and 10 meters. Now, you know, the simplest way to get acquainted with these bands is to copy the band plan documents supplied in this class material and keep it handy when you need it. If you look at the questions that were erroneous, or the answers that were erroneous, under A, it has 20 meters in there, and 20 meters gives some general availability, but it's a section of the band. It's not the entire band. Likewise, if you go to B, you'll find that 40 meters is mentioned there, and that's the same pony. You have privileges within the 40-meter band, but not the entire band. And C, of what they listed, is entire. You have the whole kit and caboodle from start to finish. One more nickel. And then on answer D, which was incorrect, the one that makes it incorrect is the 15 meters in that listing, because that band, again, you have general privileges within that band, but not for the entire band. So the band plan should be copied, looked over, got familiar with. A lot of this will become automatic for you, you know, once you get your ticket and get in the operating and so on and so forth. But it's handy information to have around. Any questions on this before I pass it to Kathy for number two, please? Okay, we're off and running, Miss Sunshine. K6SUN from KY6V.
All right, thanks so much, Gordon, and welcome to everyone listening tonight. And this is my final evening, I should say, of freedom. I go back to school tomorrow. So, not looking forward to it, but just a matter of fact. All right, I'm going to ask the question, Golf 1 Alpha 02. On which of the following bands is phone operation prohibited? And we're going to go into the meters again, just like Gordon did. We have 160 meters, we have 30 meters, we have 17 meters, and we have 12 meters. And the correct answer is Bravo, 30 meters. So this is really, you know, this answer is just gospel. You know, should one wish to examine this closer, we just suggest merely that you go to the FCC Part 97 rules, and specifically the information found at 97.305. So with that, are there any questions or comments before I throw it over to KY6B for the third question? All right, Gordon, it's your turn, and you're going to do golf a 1 alpha 11.
My goodness gracious, Miss Sunshine, you must have the same script I've got. Thank you, Mademoiselle. G1A11, guys and gals, and that question reads, when general class licensees are not permitted to use the entire voice portion of a band, which portion of the voice segment is generally available to them? All right, I'll read that one more time. When general class licensees are not permitted to use the entire voice portion of a band, which portion of the voice segment is generally available to them? The answers that are offered, and there's four of them, and they're A through D. Forget about the A through D. Don't memorize those guys. It'll get you into trouble. First one was the lower frequency end. The second one is the upper frequency end. The third one is the lower frequency end on frequencies below 7.3 and the upper end of frequencies on 14.150. And D, or the last of the Mohegans, the upper frequency end on frequencies below 7.3 megahertz and the lower end of frequencies above 14.150. So, really jumping you around, isn't it? Well, the correct answer is B, or line B, forget the B, the upper frequency end. This question and answer pretty much speaks for itself. But the lower part of the general area will vary a bit depending on what band you are using. So you got to be careful with the lower end. But generally speaking, the upper end of these bands where you have partial permission to use, your available frequencies will be on the high end. Again, the band plan provided in our supplied study material will help you at a glance very quickly in that regard. Any questions on this, please? Okay. Kathy, K6SUN, you're romping into the Gulf 1 Bravo superstructure. Go ahead, Mademoiselle.
All right, and once again, I just want to emphasize about the alpha designator, but if there is something in that question and something in that answer that would help you by memorizing, you know, try to just look at it that way, but don't do the A, B, C, or D. So we're going to do Gulf 1 Bravo. Antenna structure limitations, good engineering and good amateur practice, beacon operation, prohibited transmissions, and retransmitting radio signals. So my question is Gulf 1 Bravo 01, and it reads, what is the maximum height above ground to which an antenna structure may be erected without requiring a notification to the FAA and registration with the FCC, provided it is not at or near a public use airport? So our choices are 50 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet, and 300 feet. And your correct answer is the 200 feet, and that is Charlie. C is the correct answer. So 200 feet is the correct answer. But bear in mind, there may be some additional FAA notifications necessary dependent on your distance to an airport. Any questions, any comments on this one?
This is CDQ. There might be a question from KW4LCB. KW4LCB, do you have a question? Go now, please.
No, sir. I sure don't. Just just put in your text box that I'm here.
Okay, Gordon, you're up.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Hi, George. You know, this 200 feet, George, is very interesting for what you and I get into all the time, or used to. There's a lot of information flying in circles regarding further restrictions and notifications on 200 feet. But right now, from what I'm seeing, it's not anything that's going to bother anybody, really. We'll see how the mop flops when the water cools down a little bit. But right now, that's the answer, guys. 200 feet and swing and sway with Sammy K. Okay, we're going into G1B08. G1 Bravo 08. And it reads, when choosing a transmitter frequency, what should you do to comply with good amateur practice? That's an interesting question, guys. The answers that are posed here, and there's only one that is correct, or should be normally only one, maybe a little different here, says ensure that the frequency and mode selected are within your license class privileges. Well, guys, you know, that does make sense. The second one is follow general accepted band plans agreed by the amateur radio community. That sort of makes sense. The next one is monitor the frequency before transmitting. That's very important. You know, you don't want to just get on there and stomp on somebody that's already talking. They're going to get unhappy. And by the time it's over, you're going to be unhappy. So listen before you start squawking and keying. And D, or the last possible answer here, says all these choices are correct. And you know what? That is the state. All of those mentioned are correct answers. So the question speaks for itself. Above all, you know, remember this, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, and you'll have some fun if you hang your hat on that. Any questions, please? KY6V, over. Okay, Kathy. My road plant map here says G1 Bravo 11. Go ahead, please.
All right. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November along with KY6V. And I'm sure glad that your answer has that favorite one. I always like to see all of these answers are correct. So mine is a Golf 1 Bravo 11. And it reads, who or what determines good engineering and good amateur practice as applied to the operation of an amateur station in all respects not covered by the Part 97 rules? So alpha is the FCC, B is the control operator, C is the IEEE, and the D is the ITU. And actually the correct answer is the very first one, alpha, the FCC. So the FCC here in the United States is the governing body that set the rules and regulations and monitor for compliance. Any questions, any comments before I throw it over to KY6D for a new section? All right, no questions, no comments, Gordon. You're moving into Golf 1 Charlie. So it's your turn.
Thank you, Miss Sunshine. This is an interesting group we're moving into, guys and gals. G1 Charlie is covering transmitter power regulations, data emission standards, and 60-meter operation requirements. Hang your hat on that 60 meters. It's got some interesting twills to it. We're going to be addressing the first question in that group, which is G1C01, Golf 1, Charlie 01. You'll notice that it also has a FCC-designated Part 97 paragraph that you could look at if you want more information. But the question reads, what is the maximum transmitter power an amateur station may use on 10.14 megahertz. Going to read it again. What is the maximum transmitter power an amateur radio station may use on 10.140 megahertz? The answers are 200 watts PEP output, 1,000 watts PEP output, 1,500 watts PEP output, and 2,000 watts PEP output. Okay, let's think about this for a moment. You know, although 1,500 watts PEP is normal for most of our bands, there are some exceptions. And those exceptions generally fall in the 30 and 60 meters, just for examples. So the frequency of 10.140, if you look it up on your band plan, I'm swinging band plans here tonight. If you look it up on your band plan, you'll find out that 10.140 is in the 30-meter band, and it is 200 watts PEP. That's all you can use. That's all that you are allowed to use. And if you're caught using more, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Now, some of the other questions I think that we touch on, I don't know if they're this evening or not, but probably so. We'll be talking about the power limit on 60 meters, which is even different than the one that you just heard here for 30. Any questions on this, please? KY6V, over.
NO70.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I better stand at attention for this one. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Well, hi, Gordon and Kathy and all of the class tonight, South Car's visitors, guests, members. What is please? What does PEP mean? KY6V-NO70.
Oh, that's one of those fancy acronyms that they fly all over the place. PEP stands for peak envelope power. Okay. You're going to run into some things in your ham career, George. You know this already, but other things like ERP. Which is effective radiated power, talking about antennas and so on and so forth. So PEP, peak envelope power, means that's really the extreme way of looking at your power structure and mode that you're operating in, and you're not to exceed that. And that means that's the breakdown limit. You don't go any further. Did that answer for you, George? Over.
Yes, sir. Thank you. NO70.
Okay. Very good. Kathy, you're up. We're staying in the G1 Charlie range, it looks like. Please go ahead.
All right. Thanks so much. And good evening, both Georges and everyone else that's connected. Mine is Golf 1C04, and it reads, which of the following limitations apply to transmitter power on every amateur band? And we have only the minimum power necessary to carry out the desired communication should be used. Power must be limited to 200 watts when using a data transmission. Power should be limited as necessary to avoid interference to another radio service on the frequency. Effective radiated power cannot exceed 1,500 watts. So your correct answer is actually alpha. Only the minimum power necessary to carry out the desired communication should be used. Now this just makes sense to keep unnecessary interference on the bands. To use 15 watts to talk to your neighbor across the street just makes no sense. Any questions or any comments? All right, hearing nothing. Gordon, we're still in the G1C, so the next question is yours, G1C14.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. KY6V here. G1 Charlie 14, ladies and gentlemen, reads, what is the maximum power limit on the 60-meter band? I sort of pointed at this a couple of questions back. What is the maximum power limit on the 60-meter band? And the answers that are given in the pool start out with 1,500 watts PEP, 10 watts RMS. Now, that's the root mean square, guys, before George asked me that, and he knows the answer already anyway. Just another way of figuring voltage and current and so on. So it's 1,500 on the first one, 10 watts on the second one, ERP of 100 watts, PEP with respect to a dipole. And the last offering was ERP of 100 watts PEP with respect to an isotropic antenna. Lots that we could cover here. But the actual answer is C, as in Charlie, ERP of 100 watts PEP with respect to a dipole. Now, we're going to be getting into what ERP is all about and referencing dipoles to isotropics and so on as we get further into this course. So I'm not going to spend any time on that tonight. The point that I want to make is that on the 60-meter band, your maximum power is 100 watts, guys and gals. We just said here a few minutes ago that on your 30-meter connection or use, you're allowed 200 watts. And on the other bands, mostly, you can run the full limit of 1,500 watts. So some things to pay attention to, and particularly when you're taking the exam. Any questions on this, please? KY6V. Okay, hearing nada, we're going to venture into G1 Delta now, and that's volunteer examiners and all that kind of stuff. Kathy, lay it on us, please. Over.
All right, thank you so much. And actually, I'm struggling with the kitty cat right now who wants to get on my lap. So she must know I'm doing something very special. So we're going to work into something, and I know there's a VE out here. I've been hearing them on the nets talk about it, and that's KB9EWG. So this question is this specifically in your area, Dave. Is G1 Delta volunteer examiners and volunteer examiner coordinators temporary identification and element credit? And the element is G1 Delta 03. Let me pause for just a moment. This one reads, on which of the following band segments may you operate if you are a technician class operator and have a certificate of successful completion of examination, a CSCE, for general class privileges? Your choices are A, only the technician band segments until your upgrade is posted in the FCC database. B, only on the technician band segments until your license arrives in the mail. C, on any general or technician class band segment, or on any general or technician class band segment except 30 meters and 60 meters. The correct answer is actually Charlie. On any general or technician class band segment. So once you have passed your general exam and have in your hands the CSCE form given to you by the examiner, you're clear to start operation while the FCC processes the new information. So with that, are there any questions, any comments from anyone before I throw it to Gordon? And I believe this is his last question for the evening. Any comments, any questions?
One quick comment.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, as you said, it was C. You can go ahead and start using your general class privileges right away once you have the CSCE in your hand, but you must identify with a temporary Alpha Golf until your general class license arrives to you. KB9EWG.
Thank you so much, David. I remember when I upgraded from technician to general. I had to put the AG after it for a short time. So thank you for that. Gordon, your next one, and like I said, it's your last one for this evening. It's going to be Golf 1-Delta-05.
Okay. Thanks again, Miss Sunshine. Hi, David. You know, that's interesting. I'm glad you made that comment. That when your CSCE is in your hands, but the commission has not updated their record file yet, and therefore you're not current on QRZ with the upgraded status, it's sort of important to put that AG in there, and it's for a number of reasons, and one of the reasons, if somebody looks you up, they're going to find out you're a technician, and how come you're running as a general, okay? And then there's going to be a lot of questions asked, and you're going to have to say, well, I've got this certificate, blah, blah, blah. So you stop all of that nonsense, if I can put it that way, by going by the rules and giving your call sign, slant bar, AG, Alpha Golf, in the case of the general, CSCE, and you're off and running. Okay, we're going to go to G1DO5, Golf 1, Delta 05. Let me buy a nickel. And it reads, which of the following must a person have before they can be an administering VE for a technician class license examination? Interesting question, don't you think? Which of the following must a person have before they can be administering VE for a technician class license? All right, the answers that they give you out of four possibilities are notification to the FCC that you want to give an examination, B, receipt of a certificate of successful completion of examination, CSCE for general class, C, don't memorize these alpha guys. I'm using them for point of reference here. C, possession of properly obtained telegraph license. And D, all FCC general class or higher license and VEC accreditation. An FCC general class or higher license and an FCC accreditation is the proper answer. Two authorizations are required here, guys and gals. You know, first, holding a license class higher than the class you are administering the exam for. Exceptions here would obviously be the extra class and having accreditations from the VEC group you are administering for under their name. Any comments on this? Dave, you want to amplify that in any way? EWGKY6V, over.
No, sir. I think you amplified it very well. And yes, I'm both a W5YIVE and an ARLVE. KV9EWG, back to you there, Gordon.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, David. All right, what do we got here? 37 minutes into the hour and counting, and Miss Sunshine, it looks like you're going to wrap it up with your last question here. Please proceed, KY6V.
All right, this is Kilo 6, Sierra United November, and this question I have seen before. I have heard questions about it because I believe it was actually the live picture. I'm not sure if it was last week or the previous week. So everyone, if they were listening through those nets at all, should actually know the answer. But let me go through it. Golf 1 Delta 10. What is the minimum age that one must be to qualify as an accredited volunteer examiner? The ages are 12, 18, 21, or there's no age limit. And the actual correct answer is 18 years. The designator is Bravo. So again, this question and answer are self-explanatory. 18 or older to be an examiner. So any questions, any comments before I throw it back to you, Gordon? All right, hearing nothing. It's been a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to be one of your instructors for this evening. I'll be back Tuesday. If my principal lets me go, if the union lets me go, because I have to vote. But I am sure I'll be here at 7 o'clock. So with that, thank you again for allowing me to be your instructor this evening. And Gordon, thank you for allowing me to be part of your team. So over to you, KY6C.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. And thank you, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V. A couple of quick comments. Tonight's session has been recorded, will be transferred into a MP3 file format, and placed on our website in the general class area for review or use by anybody that wants to use it sometime tomorrow. Hopefully in the morning, but we'll see how that goes. The other thing that I wanted to mention here that we're giving, you know, there's 455 questions in this pool exam. We are asking the students to review 60 questions every class night. So if there's a class on Sunday and a class on Tuesday, you're reviewing 120 questions for the week. Let me buy a nickel. And it is important that if you stay focused and stay on top of this, first of all, you're going to come home with a bacon when the class is over, and you'll snow the exam. But if you take the 60 questions and review them before the class night, and mark the ones that maybe you're a little puzzled with or you don't understand, gives you an opportunity to jump aboard and ask us to explain it further in a way that will help you along with the particular question or questions. So that's important. Keep the motivation going. One of the mainstays of our program here on presenting it the way that we do is an attempt to keep you focused. And if you stay focused and do things in a regular time frame, you're going to be a winner. Mike, I'm going to throw it over to you. You want to close it? Any parting comments, sir? KD0CDQ from KY6V.
This is KD0CDQ. Kathy and Gordon did an excellent job tonight. That was very clear, very well done. Now, if you want to be prepared for Tuesday night, don't miss it. Tuesday night questions will be in the section of Golf 1 Echo through Golf 2 Delta. That's actually 56 questions, and again, we're going to be gifted by having Gordon and Kathy back with us on Tuesday, so y'all got to be there too, okay? So we'll see you again Tuesday evening, same time, same station. We're going to sign off now. God bless. KD0, CDQ out.